gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1210. This is your host, Danny Pena. And guys, I'm doing this by myself, solo. No Pete, no Paris. And don't worry, they'll be back hopefully next week. And we have a lot of things to talk about. There's a lot of news. The summer's coming up, Summer Game Fest, Xbox Showcase. We have a lot of things to talk about. And I might have some surprises. I'm actually going to Xbox Fan Fest. That's going to be on June 12th. We're going to be there with a bunch of other people from the media, content creators. Also, the fans are going to be there too. So, if there's anyone from the GTR community that's listening or watching on Twitch, please let me know. I'm going to be there with Paris. My wife, Rihanna, is also going to be there too. And yeah, we're going to have a great time. We're going to see the Xbox Showcase together. And it feels good. It feels good attending more events. And now we're back slowly. So I'm working on some things. Hopefully it goes through for GTR during that time. So make sure to stay subscribed. Stay tuned. I got some cool stuff coming up. All right. Also, shout out to everyone that checked out multiple things that came out last week. I know I briefly talked about it on the podcast. I didn't say much about one of them because the other one was a surprise. So the one I was talking about right now is the Paramount Plus. We were part of the season finale of the Halo TV series, which aired and came out on Thursday. And there's a 10-minute segment that you could watch right now, either in the Paramount Plus app or go to Facebook, Twitter, or even YouTube is there. And it's me. My wife Rihanna, Paris, Lily, and also Stella. She's one of the hosts at IGN. And we had a great conversation about diversity and representation. So make sure to check it out. If not, wait for a couple more minutes. I'm going to play it in a podcast here so you guys can listen to it. It's a really great discussion. This is a 10-minute version. There's going to be a 30-minute version coming out later. I just don't know when exactly. So just be on the lookout for it. All right. Another thing too, shout out to Microsoft for interviewing me about my journey. This interview also came out at the same day, Thursday. And I also did something with Vice. So they posted some videos of me giving tips to content creators. It was a lot of fun. So I'm going to put the link under the description of this episode. So if you want to check it out, read it. It's there. All right. So head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback if you find us for the first time, this is your opportunity to help us out. First of all, you subscribe, follow us, or even post a review. If you haven't posted a review, you've been listening to GTR for a very long time, pause this, or you can continue listening while reviewing us. It will help us out a lot. So it only takes a couple seconds. It's super easy. You go to, for example, Spotify, you go there, put your stars there, 1 through 5. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you could do the same thing and also write a review. It will help us out. Doesn't matter where around the world, do that and it will help us out. Other people will discover us because of your engagement online. So go ahead, support us and help us out. All right. Also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, which we have a couple of family questions coming up for this episode, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's go with the topics here. I have to talk about this. Shout out to WB Games. They sent me a code actually over a week ago. It was like a week and a half, 2 weeks or so. and I got an opportunity to play Multiverses. Actually, I streamed it on our Twitch channel multiple times already. I'm planning to stream it right after this recording. But let me tell you this. Look, I'm not a really person that's into like fighting games or anything like that. You know, there's only a couple that stood out to me through my life that I'm like, yo, I love these games. And that's Street Fighter 2, Mortal Kombat 2. The most recent Mortal Kombat was really, really good too. Smash Bros. For the GameCube. And also for recently now, this one for the Switch. And I put Multiverses as of right now up there. And this is the first game that I feel that is actually going to compete with Smash big time. And here's why I feel like this one's going to be a bigger successful game or close to Smash. One is free to play. Number two, it has a bunch of iconic characters that we grew up watching either through movies, cartoons, etc. And it's so dope. Like for example, I love Bugs Bunny. I've been playing that character every time. I'm playing really, really good. I tried other ones. I tried Shaggy, Batman. I know that one woman is there. I haven't unlocked her yet. Even if you try out the tutorial in the game, you can unlock her for free. So that's that. Plus, crossplay, cross progression. The game is so good. Love the presentation. It feels good. It plays good. The controllers is good. I think people are going to like this a lot. And you have the options to play this on any platform. Right now I'm playing it on the PC. This is going to be available also on Xbox, PlayStation. So when I was playing this, you will see the logo on top of the character and the name of the person you're playing with. Doesn't matter which platform they're on. And it's been good. No lag at all. This is an alpha build. This is not the beta. So the beta is coming out sometime in July. But so far is amazing. Oh my God. Like with Bugs Bunny, for example, all the things that you get to see from the cartoons with Bugs Bunny, he'll do it. Like the hammer, even the rockets, exactly the cartoons. The voice acting. Let me tell you, the voice acting in this game, top notch. They have the original voice actors for the majority of the characters in here, man. So it sounds really, really good, man. I've been playing it for a couple of days. I tried it out online and I streamed it. And even the people that were watching me stream, they were also enjoying it and they loved the presentation. Right now, there's not that many people that have the game. So the only way you could get this code, if you have somebody that has this, has the alpha, each person that gets the code directly from the website will get three additional codes that could also give it to their friends. And I think it's about to end the alpha in a couple of days. But I'm telling you, I think this game is going to compete with Smash. And the reason, when like I said in the beginning, there's going to be way more players, crossplay. There's no crossplay with Smash. And more importantly, it's free to play. Free to play. So I've been playing it and I unlocked a couple characters already. Based on the quest that you do in this game, you could collect coins, and with those coins you can unlock all kinds of stuff, cosmetics, characters, all that stuff. And also you get perks too. Every time you level up, you will also unlock perks and a bunch of other stuff there too, man. So it's really, really good. I think people are gonna love this, man. And look, people are going to call me crazy for saying that, but let me tell you, I can't think of any other game that can compete with Smash, and this is the only one that I can think of. I didn't like the Nickelodeon version that came out last year or so. Don't like it at all. One, no voice acting. The music is not that great. Level design is kind of boring. And I feel like it's downgraded compared to Multiverses big time, because Nickelodeon had an opportunity to add all these like iconic voice actors in the game. There's none of that in there, you know. So with this, it feels like WB and the team that worked on this took their time developing on this game, and it feels premium. It doesn't feel cheap at all. And it's don't know. I just love the presentation at all, man. You know, like one of the levels I was checking out, which is also part of the stream, Batman level. That's the one that really stood out to me the most. You see like bats, you know, the Batman cave in there. It's really good. I it's super, super dope. So you could also play 1v1. You could do team battle, so it would be 2v2, free for all. Or you could play also players online versus AI. You could do that too. Or just play yourself, man, offline. You know, you could do that with bots. So it's really, really cool, man. I think people are going to love this, man. See, like Thirsty Panda in the chat right now, he says the game has no heart, the Nickelodeon version. I 100% agree with you, man. I didn't like that game. I didn't like that game at all. My brother was excited because he grew up watching Nickelodeon, and he played, and he's like, dude, this game is not that great, yo. It's not, I don't know. And then please, for those who are watching and listening, please let me know your thoughts, because to me, that game is not that great. Not that great at all. So, but yeah, there you have it, man. Again, watch the stream at twitch.tv/gamertagradio. I'm planning to stream that later on today, or even during the week of the alpha. And once it's done, hopefully we'll be back again sometime in July to play it. And I think this is going to be a hit, a major, major hit for WB Games. And it's going to blow up, man. Either people are going to be curious and just going to download and play it, and there's going to be a lot that are going to be playing this for a very, very, very long time. And I see the potential of them adding even other characters there, like Neo from The Matrix. You know, I could see that happening. You know, and this is crazy. I could even think of other characters, man, like stuff that nobody's probably thinking of. You know, I could see like one of the characters from Sopranos to join in there. You never know. I think they will go all out. They have the opportunity to do something similar to like Smash. When they have like an announcement of new characters, people are going to go wild. I can see that happening with this, man. So it's really, really good. Also, James Blackwood, 34, on our chat, he says, data miners found voice lines for Gizmo and LeBron. I can see LeBron James in the game because, you know, Space Jam and everything. So I can see that happening. I could definitely see that happening. Thank you for letting me know about that. I totally forgot about it. I know there's been posts and all kinds of theories online of other characters, potential characters that could be in the game. So, but look, for those that are listening, please let me know your thoughts and what characters you would like to see in the game. I think that would be a great conversation to have, man, you know. So, but make sure to check out X-Play sometime, I believe, this week. We're also going to be posting impressions of the alpha, and we talked to the team, you know, with the X-Play team about it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure to check it out. All right, so let's go to the next topic, man. Oh, the sad one. This is a very sad one right here, guys. You have, if you're watching this right now live, you have less than 24 hours to buy 3DS and Wii U eShop games using your credit card. So I'm going to talk about it briefly right here because this is very, very important. And it sucks because now if you buy the eShop cards, it's not going to work anymore. That is completely done. They're shutting it down, the eShop. I know they announced this back a couple months ago, I think it was. So, but there's another news here that starting August 29th of this year, you will no longer be possible to use the eShop cards, which I was talking about earlier. And you can even add funds in there, man. So today is just the last day where you could use your credit cards. Users have until March of 2023 to use funds that you have in there in your credit. If not, the only thing you could do after that is just re-download your digital games. I don't know what's going on with Nintendo. I think I'm glad that is not happening with Xbox. I know there were some issues, like last week, where people couldn't log in and play their games, especially their digital games. I get it. You know, when it comes to that, I think, and I said it last time, Xbox need to have a better communication with people that don't use social media so they know what's going on. But besides that, Xbox has been great on, you know, for users to get their games that they purchased years ago, even during the Xbox 360 days, you know. So even games that I played a long time ago on my 360, when I launched it on my Series X or S, you see the old game saves there, man. So I just love that process. It's a lot easier. And plus, all those iconic games, even on the Wii U and the 3DS, those are iconic games as part of history. And it's sad to see this because Nintendo's making it super difficult for everyone, man. You know, I had a 3DS for a very long time. I bought the original one, bought the new 3DS after that. And I know there was the XL. I had that one too. But it sucks that I bought all these games and other people can't buy these games online. Like, I don't know. It's just the whole process is just ridiculous to me, man. You know, I wish there was a way for me to download the games that I purchased on my 3DS and my Wii U and just re-download it on my Switch. And you can't even do that. And no matter what Nintendo, what type of moves they make now and in the future, like stupid decisions like this, people are still going to support and not care. And even if they release these games on the Wii Shop of the Switch version for you to buy, people will still buy it. I don't know. I just find that super ridiculous. Super ridiculous. And it's not fair. It's not fair for just the fan base. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's important to be vocal so Nintendo doesn't do this in the future. But if people still supporting these games and still buying it, they're going to still continue the same exact thing. I bet you what's going to happen is in the future, when there's the next big console, years later, after that console's been available, right? I guarantee you that Nintendo is probably going to shut down the eShop for the Switch and do the same exact thing. And you have to rebuy them and all this nonsense. It's just complicated and it's just stupid. And again, all these games that came out for the 3DS and Wii U is part of history. And now what? What's going to happen from that, you know? So the reason why I was saying for you guys to be vocal, do you remember I think it was months ago or sometime last year, PlayStation was trying to do the same exact thing for their previous consoles and even the PlayStation Vita, and people were vocal online, and PlayStation kind of stopped because of that. We have to be vocal. We can't let companies do this nonsense, man. You know what I'm saying? They're taking advantage of us by doing these stupid things like this, man. So not a fan. Not a fan at all. So, all right. So let's go with the next next topic. By the way, this is insane. I wasn't expecting this at all. This is something that I got to see online a couple days ago, and it was actually Jeff Keighley that posted this, that Comcast was in talks with Electronic Arts. They were going to make a merge deal, and it didn't went through at all. So it looks like EA wants to sell the company. So right now is already talked to Apple, Amazon, and Disney. Now, out of those three, my question to you guys, which of those companies do you think will have the chance, the opportunity to buy Electronic Arts? Electronic Arts has some iconic games that came out in the past, IPs, you know, they even have now with Star Wars. That's something that I feel out of the three, I could see Disney buying Electronic Arts. I could see that because of the multiple games that already came out. And this will be huge for Disney. They've been investing a lot of money on just games, but they've been working with studios to have that deal. Back in the days, Disney had their own studio and they don't have that anymore. So I don't know if it's going to be something compared to Activision and Microsoft deal, Activision and Blizzard. I don't know if it's going to be like that, but that is insane. So recently, there were talks with Comcast and NBC Universal. Again, that never came through. Let's see what else it says here. Yeah, there's been media outlets have been contacting Comcast, and they haven't really said anything. They declined to comment. But EA said it will not comment on, again, rumors and speculation related to this. Now, I see Disney buying Electronic Arts. I could definitely see that. Who knows? But I want to hear your thoughts. Do you think it's going to be Disney? Do you think it's going to be Apple? Because there's rumors also that Apple's been working on a video game console, and they recruited a couple people that, again, this is rumors. I'm not saying this official, but there was people from Apple that guy recruited other people that worked on the Xbox consoles in the past and now working on this project. Again, I don't know if that's going to be true or not. It's all rumors. And I want to hear your thoughts. All right, guys, we're going to continue with this episode here, Gamer Tag Radio episode 1210. But first, let's play this special audio. This is from the final episode, the season finale of Halo TV series after show called Halo Disclassified. This was a great conversation overall about diversity and representation, and not only in gaming, but just entertainment overall. And we had a great conversation with my wife, Rihanna Manuel Pena, also Paris Lilly, and also Stella, one of the producer and hosts at IGN. So check it out. Shout out to the whole Paramount Plus team, the Halo TV series team, and also 343 Industries for inviting us. And it was great being part of this discussion. And plus, this is the season finale. Aired during the season finale of the Halo TV series, which a lot of people have been watching on Paramount Plus. And I can't wait. Can't wait to hear what everybody thought. So you can watch this directly from the app of Paramount Plus, or go to Facebook or YouTube, and it's also available there, man. And Twitter. They just had a watch party the other day. So check it out. So we're going to play here only on Gamer Tag Radio. We'll be right back after this.
This is Gamer Tag Radio.
I would be remiss if I didn't make sure to upload this next transmission for all of you to see. I think you'll enjoy this one. Starting data stream now.
I'm Rihanna Manuel Pena, brand director at G4 TV, and I'm joined by my lovely panelists here. First, we have Danny Pena, founder and co-host at Gamertag Radio, as well as the games editorial lead at G4. And we have Paris Lilly, the co-host of Gamertag Radio and Kinda Funny XCast. And last but definitely not least, Stella Chung, video producer, host, and editor at IGN. Welcome, everybody. The series starts with a whole new character, Quan Ha, and everything going on with her and Planet Madrigal, and them, of course, falling under attack. So, Stella, I'm interested to hear from you.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel they did in introducing this brand new character?
First of all, as a South Korean woman, I am very happy to see that representation. I wasn't actually entirely sure that she was Korean, but as soon as I heard her speaking to her dad, I was like, oh my God, because you know, English is actually not my first language. So I grew up learning Korean first. So hearing that, I was like, wait, that's not English I'm hearing. That's actually Korean. And I was like, I don't need subtitles. This is amazing. It felt really good because you don't get to see that in a lot of Western media, right? So for me, seeing that, I was like, oh, I'm instantly invested in her character. And seeing her growing into herself, there are a lot of, I think, generational struggles that you did kind of see with her character, which was really cool because like, I've definitely gone through that. So it was really interesting to see her take such an important role. And I'm really curious to see where she'll go because I'm very invested now. She's one of my favorite characters, you know, totally not biased or anything.
You know, I think that's another great thing that they did starting off the show in the pilot is giving us a different perspective with that character. And again, we talk about the diversity of it and just seeing the non-UNSC, non-covenant point of view of this world. And to almost by the end of that episode, I go, is UNSC not the good guys? I've always thought they were the good guys. Maybe they're not. And seeing it through her eyes that way made so much sense to me. I really enjoyed that. And I think as we talk about diversity and inclusion and this universe that Halo is, that's the perspective that I really liked, that we're getting a different point of view than we got from the games, where everything is through that filter of you're Master Chief, you're the hero. Here's a different perspective. Here are people that do not trust the UNSC, that obviously the Covenant is a threat. And when we translate that into the world that we live in today, I could relate to that, because being an African-American, being a person of color in this world, you don't necessarily trust everything that you see on the surface, right? You're going to have doubt. You're not going to take things at face value. And that's what we got from that first episode. And I thought it was great.
And to that, I felt it, you know, when she was talking to her dad, even on episode 7, seeing different generations from her family, that was a very powerful moment for me. That stood out the most, I think, in the series for me.
All of the moments between Quan Han, when she addresses her dad as Opa, like I can feel what that means to her and what diversity and representation, even in an alternate universe and science fiction, can do for us as viewers, as people consuming these forms of entertainment. I'd be interested to hear from you, Paris, from you, Danny, like what does that representation mean for you in sci-fi in general whenever you're watching something that's in a fictional world?
Oh, it's extremely important to me. To be able to see someone that looks like me on the screen. And like, I'm a huge nerd. I love sci-fi, you know, obviously goes back to things like Star Trek and all that, but having that in Halo and seeing so many diverse cultures and races coming together for a common goal is great. And like I said, to see someone like myself be represented in that vein as well is very important. So I, again, take it back to the pilot episode and to just see the diversity that they showed in that group of people. And even on the UNSC side, to see the Admiral, who clearly is of a Indian/Pakistani descent, be a leader, to be in charge, to be the person making the tough decisions. Obviously, we talk about Miranda and Captain Keyes being African-American and being in those positions that they are. Well, extremely important. I mean, you know, so yeah, I absolutely love that. I do think they really nailed that representation in the series.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, as a Latino, we get frustrated when we get to see, you know, the same drug dealers, you know, right. maids and everything. Right. It's frustrating seeing that, you know, growing up, you know, I've always been a geek. I've always been into like TV and gaming. And to see that, that's powerful. That's going to influence and inspire a lot of people to get into acting and even into gaming too. And not only that, we also got to talk about the production crew behind the scenes too. People that we don't see on camera that also are different races too. I think that's very, very important.
I will also give another shout out. Thank you, Paris, for mentioning Miranda Keyes' character. I love seeing a Black woman represented on screen who is not a tower of strength, who is not 100% sure of every move she's making. She has doubts. She's a fully complex individual. And I know that's a stereotype that's often placed upon Black women. And it's just wonderful to see her represented as such a real human and somebody who has so many different emotions, different relationships with her parents, and is completely new to this audience in this portrayal. And I'm very excited to see how her character develops. And obviously Quan Ha is just number one. Like she is incredible.
All the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. So some really great representations of the Admiral as well, like lots of women of color and very diverse in the way that they are portrayed in addition to their ethnicities.
Can I say something real quick we haven't mentioned too? There's more women main characters in this series more than anything too. I think that's very, very powerful too. Gotta mention that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to see that. And Danny, thank you for mentioning the folks behind the camera as well, because there's lots of people who come together to make something as amazing as a video game or a television show. So as we sort of bring this conversation to a close, I'd love to know from everyone, any final thoughts on what they see in the future of Halo, the games, the actual TV series, and different representation examples that have really impressed you and what you hope to see them lean into even more. Obviously, Kwan-ha is at the top of our list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, like I said, I keep going back to the language thing, but I think it was 6 or 7. We did see Kwan-ha kind of open up these scrolls, right? And it was like ancient text. The way that it was written was actually done properly. This is really cool. Clearly, they did their research, and it makes me really happy to see that level of effort being put in. So as long as that quality of care is put into these characters that we obviously want to see holding up our representation, as long as that quality stays, I think I'll be happy. We were talking about how people behind the screens also with production help a lot. Like a small discussion goes a long way, just helping educate and helping people learn how best to present these things.
You know, looking at the numbers of like how many people are actually watching the show, and it's a huge success. And I hope we're going to get to see more of, you know, people of color in the show in the future too. And also for the team, the writers especially, you know, get feedback from the fans of Halo, you know, through social media.
I would say, because I want to make sure we don't forget this when we talk about just diversity and inclusion, bring it back to Soren again and his family. I have a biracial family, and I think to see that being represented on screen is very important, because I think that again is a representation of the real world versus, you know, what people, you know, may assume. There's obviously a lot of biracial families out there, so to see him be a good father, be a protector of his family, I think is very important. So I would love to see that explored more. It would be interesting to see if the show integrates more in with Halo Infinite, the current version of the video game, as well as just some of the other lore elements that we've seen throughout the books. It has been good to see Halo on screen, and to see that we know we're at least going to get another season of, and hopefully we're going to get a lot more of those, because I think there's so many stories that can be told in this universe. And I think, again, when we bring diversity and inclusion into this, to just see the variety of cultures and dialects and races that can be involved in this world and be represented on screen, I think is very important. So excited for it for sure.
So that was our discussion on diversity and representation in the Halo series. I am Rihanna Manuel Pena, and thank you to my panelists here, Danny, Paris, and Stella, for this wonderful conversation. And let's keep this going. Let's keep these dialogues open, keep representation moving forward, and get excited for season 2.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
It's time for fan mail. Let's do it.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Hey, it's Mel from San Diego, California. Gamertag at Cool Beer. Wanted to know what you thought was about Starfield being delayed? Good or bad? Were you really looking forward to it? What are your thoughts?
Thank you for calling, man. And I know I talked about this last week on the last episode of Gamer Tag Radio. That's episode 1209. Make sure to go and listen to it right there. Here's the thing. From the bad side, it sucks that we're not going to have an exclusive this year in November. It was supposed to come out during that time. Terrible. The good side is, look, I want companies to take their time on developing a game. I get it. We're very anxious to play these games, right? Which there was an official date of that last year during the last year's showcase. And I prefer for a company to just take their time. I want a game to be as bug-free as possible. I get it. There's no major exclusives. And the conversation right now that I've been seeing on Twitter is, you know, of course the fanboys are going to start nonsense, you know, but there's people that I trust and I take their opinion serious. A lot of them just don't, they unsubscribe to Game Pass, and they said the reason is there's no AAA games, there's no games that they want to play right now, so it doesn't make sense to be subscribed to the service. And I get that part, because it's the same thing what we do when we are subscribed to services like Netflix and you know, HBO Max and Disney Plus, if there's no content, you're going to unsubscribe. And once there is content, you're going to come back and subscribe again. There's going to be a lot of people that are probably going to do that. Now, is that the majority? No, I don't see that happening at all. I think the majority of people are still going to be there because there's still old games and some new games, not AAA games, that they have never played at all. And again, maybe because they don't want to pay $60 every time a new game comes out. But being on servers like Game Pass, they're going to subscribe and stay there. You know, there's rumors of, I think, Assassin's Creed Origins coming to Game Pass. There's a lot of other independent games that's coming out. But the key thing for me is Xbox need to show a roadmap soon, especially June 12th. During the Xbox showcase, get people excited and let us know what other games besides Redfall and Starfield that's coming out either this year or early next year. So again, I think Bethesda made the right decision for Xbox to delay the game and just work on it. You know, the worst thing is buying a game or downloading a game through the service, through Game Pass, and it's buggy. And what's going to happen? People are going to complain about it. Look what happened with Halo Infinite. It got delayed. It came out this past November. People enjoyed it. Then it ran out of content. And Season 2 came out. Still not perfect. And that's the part that is frustrating, man. You know, I think the pandemic has changed a lot of things. Not only for the developers, but just in the industry in general, man. You know, as a whole. So, I think again, right decision, and I hope it gets better for Bethesda, man. So I'm excited to play the game, even though we don't know anything about Starfield. We haven't seen anything. I hope that we get to hear an update or some type, maybe in June 12th. I don't know. I'm conflicted. I don't know if it's the right decision to show gameplay during Xbox showcase. I don't know if people will get mad because the game is not coming out in November. I mean, I don't know. You tell me, guys. For those who are listening and watching in the chat, please let me know. If Xbox show Starfield now for the showcase, is that a good thing? Are you going to get excited? Are you going to get mad or what? Let me know, because I'm conflicted. I think people might get frustrated because the game is not coming out, so... But I feel like don't depend on just those two games. Show us other games. Show us, the consumers and even the fans, that you have confidence by not showing those games, and show us other things that's coming out. I think it'll be cool. And then in the future, hey, maybe during Gamescom or whatever event coming out later, even XO, which they do that sometimes, that's another way where they could show the games there. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's bug-free and all that stuff, so. Just my thoughts. All right, so let's go with other fan mail. All right, so this is Hurricane Rules. Hello, GTR. Sorry I didn't put out my city. I'm from New Haven, Indiana. Shout out to you, man. My question is, should PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo come out one at a time and just denounce console wars and the fanboys who participating in it, or should they just keep ignoring it? That's a great question, Hurricane. Honestly speaking, ignore it. Because no matter what these companies do, I feel like the fanboys are still gonna do it. They're still gonna start attacking people, doing stupid nonsense, posting on Twitter of memes and all this stuff. That's never gonna go away, man. It's sad, because here's the thing. These are grown-ass men that post this nonsense online, and they think it's funny, and that's the only way that they could get attention from everybody, man, by doing this type of things. Because look, when you post negative stuff like that, it's gonna get stood out there, man. You know what I'm saying? While there's content creators and there's fans that post good stuff and doesn't get that much attention because it's positive, it's not getting people angry. You know, like the other day, I just put up, I'm not even exaggerating, I just put up, I love my Xbox Series S, and I showed the X screen, I showed me playing Forza Horizon. I showed a controller, and it looks cool. I honestly feel like the Xbox Series S, not X, S, is my favorite console of this generation because it's portable, it's cheap, it's not about the graphics. You know, I'm having a great time. I'm still playing it, you know. So I posted that, and man, a lot of people got mad about that. I mean, there was people that were positive about it too, but there was people that were mad, and they were just posting PlayStation posts and all this nonsense. And I'm like, it doesn't make sense. I don't know why people take things so personal. And they're, how I say this, like doing free promotion for all these companies, fighting against other people within the community. And they think that's a good thing. Look, it's okay to be a fan of any of these companies, right? But once you start attacking other people or stuff that they like, what is the point of that? What is it that you're trying to achieve out of that? And another thing too, if there's no competition within the industry, it's bad for us, the consumers, man. When there is competition, companies would do major, major moves because they also want to be competitive with against other companies. It's a friendly competition, I think. That's what it is from the business side. Because when I go to all these events in the past, and even now, I'm going to, I went to the Game Awards, and I'm also going to go to Fan Fest and whatever else is happening that week. People will hang out, have some drinks, and they were from different companies, from like Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo. They just hang out. They're all friends. I've been to multiple parties at E3. Everybody's there, man. All execs, developers, everybody get along, man. But the fanboys don't see that. They really don't see that, man. You know, like, you know, Reggie is good friends, for example, with Phil Spencer. They, you know, they talk all the time. You know, Doug Bowser, now which is the president of Nintendo of America, he knows everybody there, man. You know, so I don't know. I just feel the whole thing is just dumb. It's really, really dumb. And it's a waste of time. So even if companies go out there and say stuff, because I know Phil has been saying that multiple times, that he's against console wars, that's not good for gaming. And he said that multiple times, and people ignore it. They didn't care. People still doing it. So my answer for this question, Hurricane Rules, is for companies to keep ignoring and just keep doing their thing. The only way they could be vocal to show that the community and the industry is united is do stuff like the Game Awards. You got to see all the execs from all these three companies together to present an award, or take pictures when they're hanging out, stuff like that. I think that is a way to show people like, yo, everybody's good. This is not nothing serious. It's not a fight. It's not a gang war. You get what I'm saying? So I think that's the best way, in my opinion. So, but thank you for sending those questions. And look, for those who are listening or watching, you have the power to not promote this nonsense. If you see these type of tweets online through social media, just block it, mute it, don't interact with it, because that's what they want. There's people that will create fake accounts to start nonsense online. So ignore it, block, and keep it moving, all right? And one last thing. A lot of these people that start fanboy nonsense console wars online, they have more time talking this nonsense online instead of playing and enjoying games. Games is about having fun. It's not about this war crap, which is BS. It's fake. It's not that serious, man. Go have fun. All right, let's go to the next question. I think that's it, right? Or there is more? I'm trying to look. I think that's... Oh, no, I have one. It was... I know where it's at. It's on Discord. All right, this is from Vision. Hey, GTR, I'm currently playing Halo 2 MMC, which is the Master Chief Collection, the full series playthrough. I just want to ask... How comes character switching and campaign worked in Halo 2 but not Halo 5? Also, do you guys think that 343 will bring back classic weapons from like plasma rifle, beam rifle to Halo Infinite's campaign? Anyway, love the show and congrats to you, Godfrey, which is me, Danny. Vision, thank you so much for sending this question. I know Joseph Staten was in, he was on Kind of Funny S-Cast, and they talked about, you know, the whole thing about Halo Infinite, the multiplayer exactly. So, and I think it was Paris that asked him about bringing back the old maps in the game. And he hinted a little bit about that. So I could see maps coming in, and also I could see in the future 343 adding old classic weapons from those days to the game too in the future, not only in the campaign, maybe in the campaign, but I definitely will see it more on the multiplayer side. So I can see that. Now, I know you mentioned about switching campaign characters, right? Halo 2, but not Halo 5. Halo 5, in my opinion, was designed for multiple people to play online, and they are all different characters. If you play solo, you could tell that it's you're that one character, and then the other ones is just bots. So I think it was designed, it was developed for that. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I think. I know in Halo 2, you could switch characters, but it's part of the campaign. It's not like, okay, let me just change it right now. It's not, it didn't work like that for Halo 2. So there you go. That's the answer for that question. And thank you so much for sending me a question, man. It was a lot of fun, man. All right, guys, I think that's about it. Wow, 30 something minutes. Pretty cool. I think that's about it for Gamer Tag Radio episode 1210. I'm going to do an after show. I'm going to stream, so make sure to stay. Don't leave. But yeah, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Again, the guys are coming back hopefully next week. There's a lot of things going on. You know, they've been busy, so it's good. But you know me, I don't want to take a day off when it comes to like the podcast. I know previously we used to do two episodes every week, but things been really, really busy. It's been hard for not only for me, but also for the guys to do two episodes every week. We might do that here and there, just being the lookout. You never know. But as of right now, we're going to do just a weekly podcast and just keeping away from there, man. So thank you so much. All right. So everyone, thank you for listening. Episode 1210. Until next time, I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.